We reach into the cookie jar.
Oh, my goodness.
Six questions that require opinions. Some ridiculous, some provocative. The last one, we're pretty sure Greg Hargrave put in the cookie jar.
It's gotta be.
Yeah.
None of us did this.
And if we were ever to podcast the conversations that we have during break, I think it would be a ratings smash.
Things you can't say on the air.
Things you can't say on the air.
Anyway, the first question is, which is scarier, deep sea or deep space?
For me, it's deep sea. When we hear stories about the sub that went down and got crushed?
Oh, yeah, for that going to the Titanic.
That seems to be an absolute nightmare. I think drowning or the feeling of drowning, not being able to breathe, which I know in deep space you can't breathe either, so maybe it's the same feeling. But I just feel like there's just no hope at that point. And I don't know what the hope is in deep space, but I haven't experienced that, so I'm going to say, I got a shot!
I'm with you. Deep sea terrifies me. I'm more intrigued by outer space, and I think it's a little bit more exciting. It's the creatures that live below the sea, and you can't really see any of them, and then all of a sudden they're there.
Some of them are even undiscovered.
Yeah, exactly.
The answer is deep sea. Yeah,
not that we know what's discovered in deep space either.
No.
All of these things, you say one, and then you're like, well, it's the same in the other.
But a lot of deep space is just nothing. Deep sea, it's all of the things that are down there.
Yeah, but deep space, I mean, you could run into an alien. And who knows, are they friendly or are they not?
The second question. Tom, do you have an opinion on that deep sea?
I was just going to say, I think this is easy, that deep space is scarier because there's so much more unknown than deep sea.
Yeah, but there could be something wonderful out there. A whole nother wonderful world.
Yeah, and there
world.
Could be a creature waiting to eat you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You ever see Star Wars?
I thought Greg was off today. Do you wash your dishes before they go in the dishwasher?
I do clean them up so that there's not big chunks or there's nothing worse than a dish coming out that has egg on it or yogurt. Like, this is something that I have an issue with the kids. When they put something in the sink, it dries, it gets crusty, it gets stuck on, and then even the dishwasher can't get it off. Just use the sprayer. Hose it off, and then put it in the dishwasher.
But it drives me crazy. The dishwasher should wash my dishes.
But you would never put a plate with food stuck on it.
You'd scrape the food off.
And you rinse it.
Yes.
Okay.
But I've gotten in many a fight because I am stubborn and think, well, the dishwasher is going to take care of it, and it doesn't. So that
you can lose that fight.
So, no, you don't wash it. You rinse it and then put it in. Okay. Like, you're not going to scrub it with soap and water.
No.
But you're just going to rinse it. I'm going to rinse it off. Yeah, if there's anything stuck on that I know is not going to come off, then I'll grab the scrub brush.
Back to school season is here. I want you to assign a color to each of these folders. Math, science, history, and English. We all did it in school.
All right. Heather, would you like to go?
Sure. My math folder would be probably brown because I hate math. So it's I don't know, just kind of a drab color.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I want to be able to write math on the folder, and you can't, I don't know.
Can't see it,
It sounds brown would be good. History would be green. I don't know why. Just reminds me of history. Science would be yellow, and English would be pink.
Oh, pink.
Yeah,
oh,
it's my favorite. My favorite subject.
Mine, math, yellow, because I do like to make notes on the outsides, and it kind of seems like it's a highlighter sort of color, so I can make sure I see them. Science would be an old school manila folder.
Oh!
Oh! Wow!
History would be blue, and English would be orange.
It's funny how we all have these, and I have no rhyme or reason. Math is red to me, science is green, history is yellow, and English is blue.
See, I can't have. I'm red and orange. Or I mean, red and green aren't in my available palette, so I couldn't go with those.
Oh, yeah, you. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, you.
you, Michigan fans. What's the best bottled water?
I think this one is easy. It's got to be Smart Water, and I'm simply hoping that it's not false advertising, that it does actually work.
I have some bad news for you, John. It's not helping. All right, Heather, what do you got?
I got Smart Water, too. This was easier for me to come up with my least favorite water than my favorite.
Do you have a least?
Yes, Ice Mountain and Aquafina.
Really?
Yeah, I won't. Really? I will not drink water if that's all that's available.
So my initial answer was, I don't care because it's water. I don't care. It all tastes the same.
No, it doesn't. No.
Whoa. We're going to have a taste test on freaking water?
We should.
Dasani tastes different than other water.
I like the Ice Mountain one because I get it at Costco and it's the cheapest one.
See, these two think it tastes different. They're younger. That's why bottled water is so popular and exploded, and you have all these different brands.
Yeah, but can't use
it. Does taste different.
This cute little bottle that makes it taste different in their minds. It's all a game.
I like.
No. I'm saying tap water.
That's not the question.
All the time.
What's the best bottled water? Tap water comes out of the tap. It's not bottled.
Hey, Tom, if you're not filtering your water, you are the filter.
You are the filter. Yeah, thank you, Doug.
I would say
maybe that's why I don't have any hair.
Yes.
To me, the best bottled water is Voss. Have you ever had Voss?
Voss, never even
very
heard of it.
Fancy.
It
glass
is fancy.
Bottle.
It is fancy.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, glass bottle. Oh, there's a guy without kids. Yeah, so let's put more glass in the environment.
Is the movie better than the book or vice versa?
This is easy. The book is always better. Always better.
Nerd.
No, it's the truth, though. You get so much more detail in a book, and your imagination can run a little bit more wild with it. And you can also kind of create images of how you perceive the characters to be. And then you see the movie, and they can never put as many details in, and they pick the character, and you're like, oh, that's who they cast? This is not how I pictured so-and-so to be. And the book is just always better.
I would prefer, now, I've not read a lot of books that have been made into movies.
Not reading Nicholas Sparks?
No.
I know you're not, John.
Not really watching the movie either. What is it? The Notebook is the one you're referring to?
There's a ton of them.
Oh, there's a ton of them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Almost every Nicholas Sparks book has been turned into a movie.
Oh. So,
but if someone gave you the choice, here's a great story. You want to watch the movie, you want to read the book?
I would prefer to watch the movie and then read the book, because if it goes the other way, just like you said, Heather, I read the book and then I develop the characters in my mind.
Yes.
And then the movie, I'm like, that's not who I would cast. That's not what they're supposed to look like. It's not even what they're supposed to sound like. But if I do it the other way, where I watch the movie, now I have that individual in my mind and I can make it fit better.
The movie's more immersive. The sound, it goes 2 hours as opposed to how long it takes to read a book.
A long time.
Yeah, it's efficient. It's immersive. It's a movie. All right, this last one, and we've been talking about this off air. Greg Hargrave had to have been the one to put this in the cookie jar. If you and your spouse were involved in a Freaky Friday situation, would you do it?
Oh. Would you do
so? If you could switch bodies,
right? But it's your
partner,
mind.
Would you then get it on with each other? Is that what this is asking?
Yes, Heather.
No.
So you'd be having,
because it's your mind, but you're basically with yourself. I mean, like it's my, I would be in Colin's body looking at me.
Yeah, that's what that would be.
No, I'll pass.
It's a no for me, dog.
Yeah, it's a no for me as well. It just, there's too many things going on there, and there's too many follow-up questions that I just don't want to ask.
Like what?
Yeah, I'm not gonna, again, I can't, yeah. Yeah. Again, that's why we podcast The Break.
In this ridiculous hypothetical, why not?
Well, so the positives are if she would experience it from
your
my perspective, then... You know, maybe there was, I think it just would give her the idea that when she's got more control, I don't want to have more control. Like,
do you think it'd be beneficial for your relationship beyond
I would hope that she would see how exciting and how much fun it is from that perspective.
Okay.
That's the benefit.
I guess there's a lot of questions you have to ask and how this is all going to work. I think there would be something good to take out of switching bodies, I guess. But it's the fact that you're not switching brains. It's still your brain in just a different body.
Yeah. So then I just sit there and play with my own.
Like, it's just...
So is it self
boobs?
Is it self-pleasure at that point? What is it considered at that point?
Yeah. And then I just get cut out again.
I mean, the easy answer here is no, because if guys switch, it's not enjoyable. Most of the time.
What does that mean?
Most of the time.
Well, yeah, but maybe I would learn.
Speak for yourself.
I said it for you, Heather. You don't want to be mean to us.
Got it.
That's it.
Maybe we could find that mystic, that mystery spot.
I'm surprised you didn't say yes based on that, Heather.
We are walking very close to a line we should not cross. And that,
oh boy,
thanks to Greg Hargrave, is the cookie jar. It's 97.1.